Christian friends. This is your teacher, Theo Stephen, to say how happy he is to be with you all again. Today, of course, brings us to our final lesson in the Good News, the subject of which is the Great Choice. Let me say that it's been a privilege to be with you and to cooperate with your class leader during these weeks. So now, we are looking forward to not only this final lesson, but also to the practicing of the truths that we have learned. Of course, you will want to continue your studies as your class leader may direct. The Moody Correspondence Department has many more excellent courses available, and I know that your spiritual appetite will be excited and stimulated as you look over the list. All right, our lesson today begins by pointing out that salvation does not lie in knowing mere facts, but rather in knowing Christ, who is the subject of those facts. I feel that in these days of easy believism and superficial Christianity, that each of us needs to beware of mere intellectualism, or a mere intellectual or even an emotional conversion. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean by an intellectual conversion, that frame of mind that embraces the facts of the gospel. The intellect takes them in, absorbs them, but it stops right there, and it gets no deeper than the head. This is not true Bible conversion, nor is an emotional conversion. An emotional conversion is that condition of things where the emotions are engaged by the story of the gospel, but in both instances, whether intellectual or emotional, the will has never become engaged or operative. You see, in true salvation, not only must I know the fact, but my will must say yes, indeed, to the person. So, have I repented of my sins? And have I received Jesus Christ as a definite act of my will? It's this that produces the miracle of the new birth. John 1 and 12, as the lesson points out today, faith, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, if I had done this, then I should seriously respond to the six words of direction that are indicated following the quotation in our lesson, "Be ye reconciled to God." Now, that quote is taken, of course, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it is quite basic. And so, assuming that ours has been a genuine turning to Christ, and that we've received him as our precious Lord and Savior, and let's go on from there. Now, here are six helpful tips for Christian growth, beginning with this one. Thank God for saving you. This is a very, very important start. Just to pour out our hearts in genuine appreciation to our God, and to say with Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Paul put it in beautiful words in Colossians 1 and verse 12. He wrote these words, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This should be our daily habit. Let's not get used to being saved. Let's keep reminding our God and our Father and our Savior our appreciation of such matchless grace to us. And then secondly, we should confess Christ openly. You know, it says in Romans chapter 10, he that believeth, or rather whosoever believeth on him, shall not be ashamed. After all, why should we be ashamed? You know that modern advertising today is really a form of confession. My, everywhere we look, almost, every time we open our newspaper, or snap on our radio or television, or open a magazine, product, a wedding ring, or an engagement ring on the hand of a girl or a lady is an advertisement of the fact that she is either engaged or married. These are forms of confession. Now, God wants us to be confessors of Christ. Romans 10:9 says the start. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's the Revised Version. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confession begins by acknowledging our sin Godward, and then it flows out to confessing our Savior manward. Just as I would go to a doctor, I suspect that there's something rather seriously wrong with me. I sit down in the doctor's office, I answer his questions, and I confess my symptoms to the doctor very honestly. And then, after taking his accepting his diagnosis and his treatment and his care, then I'll want to confess the doctor to my friends. You see, I confess my symptoms to him, and then I confess him to my friends, for he by his skill has pulled me through. Therefore, it is with salvation. We should never be ashamed to confess him openly before men. And then, too, if I'm going to grow, I should study the Bible and pray. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 is a splendid word in this direction. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, reads like this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Isn't that something? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, a newborn babe has to eventually learn to talk. It has to learn to walk. He has to learn many, many things before he can mature. But there's one thing a baby doesn't have to learn to do, and that's to eat. It has a built-in know-how that enables that babe to eat and to take nourishment. Now, God says here, just as newborn babies do this, so you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And this is reinforced by a delightful word from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. These verses, Joshua chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, are verses that should be committed to memory. God encourages us here to feed upon his word and take it seriously. You know, in connection with eating, there are three basic laws. One, appropriation. Two, mastication. Three, assimilation. Big words? Well, by appropriating food, I receive it into my mouth. By masticating it, I chew it, and it mixes with certain body juices. And then, as I swallow it, it's assimilated, and it becomes part of me. So it is with the Word of God. As I read the Word day by day, I appropriate it. As I meditate upon what I've been reading, that's my mastication. I'm chewing it. And then, as I practice it, it becomes part of me. You see what I'm saying? And so we need to have our daily quiet time. It might be a good idea to begin reading in a gospel by Luke, or perhaps Mark's gospel. Read a portion every day. Set aside a time when you can be alone and be quiet with the Lord. And open his word. And read the prayer of David when he said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then let me read. Perhaps it's a good idea to have a bright notebook beside me and jot down the thoughts that come to me. And then as I go about my work, let me meditate upon that word and, above all, put it into practice. And I'll guarantee if you and I do that, we'll be growing Christians. But then there's something else, and that's keeping the fellowship of other Christians. My I will need the fellowship of other believers. You know, Peter says something about, or rather, Hebrews says something about this. When in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, even these words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as we see the day approaching. That is, God has so constituted his children that they need one another. We need the fellowship. We need the strength that comes from Christian fellowship. We should be associated with a fellowship of Bible-believing and Christ-loving Christians so that we can work together with them and thus fulfill our obligations as members of the body of Christ. Those early Christians, after being liberated from the furious onslaught of their persecutors, being let go, went to their own company. Now I quoted this from Acts 4:23. It's a delightful little touch. Being let go from what? From their persecutors. They went to their own company. You know, everybody goes to his own company. The lost, the unconverted go to their own company. They always keep their own company. And we who love the Savior, we should have our company,
those of like precious faith. And then we'll want to lead others to Christ, to lead sinners to the Savior. Oh, that scripture that's indicated here in this passage, Mark 5:19, it reads like this. Jesus said unto him, that is, unto one whom he had just blessed and saved, he said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion upon thee. That's the place to start, at home, beginning in Jerusalem. Tell others what the Lord has done for us. And then be sure to enthrone Jesus as Lord of your life. Just turn over your life entirely to him. And say, Lord, this body is thine now. Thou hast bought it with thy precious blood, and I yield myself to thee. And in the language of George Matheson, breathe a prayer like this. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I think in life's alarms, when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. A few questions for us now. Does Romans 10:9 urge me to confess that I am saved, or does it command me to confess Jesus as my Lord? How frequently should I read my Bible, and what should I do beside reading it? And where should I begin witnessing? And now, let us get into our final exam covering lessons 10 and 11. And God will bless us as we do so, as we put these great truths into practice.